So in August of 2001, I was on a prayer journey called the Kettle Tour. And I had been prophesied over earlier by a man named Kingsley Fletcher. Kingsley Fletcher is an apostolic leader from North Carolina. And he prophesied to me, "You will meet a man named Will. And he will have just come into an inheritance. And he's going to bless you from his inheritance." So I was really excited to meet this guy named Will. And I figured he was going to be a very rich broker, maybe from New York City, you know. And that he was going to uncap the wells of provision so that we could fulfill our calling, you know. You know how you think. Well, Dutch Sheets invited me to join him on this prayer journey up the East Coast in 2001. Lou Engel was preparing for a call in Boston. And he was actually wanting to do a call Los Angeles. I mean, he always wants to do a call Los Angeles. It just seems like what he does, you know. But as he met with Dutch Sheets and other apostolic leaders in like January of 2001, the Holy Spirit moved on them. They began to weep. And the Lord redirected their attention from Los Angeles to the Northeast. And instead of doing a call LA, they decided to do a call Boston. And they had set the time for the call Boston, September 22nd of 2001. And so Dutch and Lou met this guy, Will Ford, who had just inherited a kettle, of all things. What the heck are you going to do with a kettle? And this kettle had been passed down from his forefathers who were slaves. What they would do is, out on the farm in Louisiana, they would cook in this kettle. They would wash their clothes in this kettle. And then in the midnight hours, they would drag this kettle out into an open field. And they would crawl under that kettle and they would literally pray under the kettle, crying out for freedom. And they didn't really have the faith to pray for their own freedom. They didn't believe that they would ever come into freedom themselves, so they would always pray for the next generation. And it is this kettle that was passed on from generation to generation to generation. How many of you know about the harp and bowl movement with the bowls of heaven that capture the prayers of the saints?
Yes.
Yeah.
And this kettle had captured the prayers of saints in slavery year after year, generation after generation, until one day a woman named Nora Lockett took that kettle from slavery to freedom. And that kettle was passed on as a remembrance from that day forward of how God brought his people, his family, out from slavery and into freedom. And you might be familiar with the name Lockett. It might ring a bell to you, and that's because there's an apostolic prayer leader of the Justice House of Prayer named Matt Lockett, who's made such an impact standing against abortion in our land. And Will and Matt actually got together and they discovered by researching their history that Matt Lockett's family owned the farm that Will Ford's forefathers prayed on. I'll never forget, all the way up the East Coast, Dutch Sheets resounded again and again. The kettle was presented. We'd pray under the kettle, and Dutch would say the same thing from city to city. He would say, "Isn't it just like God and his justice and his irony to store up a portion of the prayers of a slave generation to set our nation free in this hour. Amen, amen. They had a vision of these bowls tipping. July and August of 2001, the bowls were tipping over the Northeast. It's why they came to the Northeast. And I'll never forget, on this prayer journey, we were ministering in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and then we had begun our journey from Philadelphia through New York City on up to New Haven, Connecticut. And Dutch Sheet's wife had actually called him, and she was at home, but she had had a dream that very day that we were driving from Philadelphia out to New Haven, and she had a dream, and in the dream she looked down and she was just a little bit pregnant. And then she looked down again and she had come to full term. And she began to cry out, "Call 911! Call 911! Call 911! The experts are needed. There's nobody to deliver this baby. Call 911. The experts are needed at this time." The experts, the first responders, the experts are needed. So we were literally crossing the Tappan Zee Bridge, overlooking New York City in the distance, in the midst, discussing what this dream meant in August of 2001. Dutch said it meant Psalm 91:1. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I was living at the time at the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. I was one of the original intercessory missionaries at the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. And during that whole time in Kansas City, they would pray for Kansas City, and I would too. But my heart was for the East Coast and East Coast revival. I would be praying night and day for the East Coast for breakthrough. Such an honor to join Dutch on the trip. And because of my upbringing, maybe at the House of Prayer, I was very fond of Amos 9:11, the restoration of the Tabernacle of David. The promise that with the restoration of the Tabernacle of David would come the unlocking of the nations. The harvest of the nations. And I saw where there was a gap between the House of Prayer, 9/11 House of Prayer movement, and the call movement. The societal breakers, repentance and prayer and breakthrough. At the time, there were two camps in the land, and they hadn't really united. And I just said, you know what God's doing? He's joining the House of Prayer movement with the Breaker movement. That's what this means. Call 911. It's a new baby being born. It's going to bring together the best of the best, the House of Prayer movement and the Breakthrough movement. Can I say that as we crossed the Tappan Zee Bridge and I looked over and saw the Twin Towers for the last time in August of 2001. None of us had any clue of what was right at our doorstep. Yeah. You could say that Cindy Jacobs had a little bit of a clue. I was just with Cindy, flew in from Dallas just today. We had the annual gathering of the Reformation Prayer Network, and a very powerful time. In June of 2001, Cindy Jacobs prophesied. She prophesied at the outset of this kettle tour, that journey that we were on. She prophesied this. She said, "America has no idea that destruction is at our gates. And we will either tumble into the dust, or we will rise like an eagle from the ashes." And she said the key dates for this are the 1st of September through the 22nd of September. And then she highlighted September 11th, 9-1-1. This was at the outset of this prayer journey called the Kettle Tour. And here we were, crossing the Tappan Zee Bridge, looking at the skyline of New York City for the last time, where the Twin Towers would define it. We finished up our prayer journey on the the 1st of September. 11 days later was the tragedy of this terrorist strike where terrorists took airlines and turned them into missiles and took down our strongholds. The Twin Towers of the World Trade Center slammed into the Pentagon here in Arlington, and our world forever changed. 11 days after September 11th, on September 22, we had a solemn assembly in the very place where the terrorists launched their strikes, Boston, Massachusetts. Weeping and crying out for God to save our land. We were very innocent as a broader community of Christ and as a nation of the dire perils of radical Islam and the level of vitriol and hatred that they have exerted against us generationally over centuries. We didn't know. We had an awakening, didn't we? We had a very rude awakening. But amidst the rubble and the dust, America literally rose from the ashes as an eagle from the ashes. And we experienced one of the most extraordinary turnarounds. How many of you remember the days following 9/11 when you just thought another a building was going to come down or snipers were going to shoot? And we saw the peril that our nation had suddenly entered into. We were a nation under siege. And we didn't do everything right. We didn't respond completely right. But first off, we responded to the Lord. We responded to the Lord's invitation, especially the body of Christ, responded to the Lord's invitation of a solemn assembly in the midst of the challenges that we were facing. God knew it ahead of time. For whatever reason, He allowed some of this to come. Maybe as an antidote to protect us from the full measure of what the enemy would try to do. Because we rose up, and we rose up as one. We rose up as one nation under God. And I will never forget the prayer service at the National Cathedral. I believe it was a National Cathedral. Maybe it was in New York when President Bush stood up and he said this. He said, "The commitment of our fathers is the calling of our time. The commitment of our fathers is the calling of our time." Prophesying at a prayer service that the commitment of our fathers to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, to establishing one nation under God in covenant with Christ, the commitment of our fathers is the calling of our time. And I submit to you that as it was in September 11th, 2001, so it is today in September 11th of 2015. The commitment of our fathers is the calling of our time. So many of us in this period, these 14 years, it's like we've gone astray, we've gone adrift, we've lost our covenantal foundations.
Yes, that's right.
And as we fought for the freedom of this nation, our soldiers have come back to barely even recognize the nation that they left to fight for.
That's right. That's right.
How is it that we withdraw from Iraq and allow ISIS to run ramshod through the gates of that land and take down the liberty that our soldiers fought for, gave literally life and limb for? How is it that that's okay with us?
It's not.
How is it that we tolerate this level of deception that is coming from the highest corridors of power? Members of the intelligence community have been jailed because of the contents on their computer and on their emails. Even the director of the CIA has been jailed, Petraeus. Because of these breaches of intelligence. And yet, we're tolerating a presidential candidate who has been so involved in the deception that it's not even funny. And the breaches of intelligence are clear. And the Justice Department turns its head and pretends it doesn't exist and expects us to do the same. The commitment of our fathers is the calling of our time. Can I tell you in one sentence what the commitment of our fathers is? No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. It's why the pilgrims came across the waters and cut covenant with the Lord for the land that would become the United States of America. It's why Paul Revere rode in the midnight hour. He saw the signals in the upper room of the church, and he rode, and he started a revolution. Revere rode, and America was born. I prophesied to you that Paul Revere's are riding again. The revolutionaries, the spiritual revolutionaries, are riding again. And this time our nation is going to be born again. We are in an extraordinary time. Jolene and I were just up in Newport, Vermont, of all places. We renamed the town New Portal. New Portal. We've been prophesying for years because we little community up there that have endeared themselves to us. So we go up every year and, you know, we kept prophesying New Portal, New Portal, New Portal. And then this time when we came up to Newport, Vermont to pray, literally that prophetic word we've been declaring for the past 5 or 6 years came to pass. And we saw a window open for our nation. To bring a turnaround. It's in the spirit. You can feel it right now. It doesn't matter what the rulers out there are doing. You can feel by the Spirit of God that there is an undercurrent of strength, an undercurrent of empowerment, an undercurrent of the Spirit of God. A grassroots move of God is now at hand. We are rising up in strength, in victory, not in trembling, but in peace. And this move of God that He Himself is releasing and orchestrating is destined by Him, released by Him to bring a turnaround to a nation that's gone astray. It was in Newport, Vermont, back in June of 2012. Jolene and I were minding our own business. The pastor has a really nice upper room, a bedroom, and then a nice study area with a beautiful library. And there's just the peace of God is there. And so we were just resting in that peace. And Jolene woke up one morning and she saw the time period between September 1st and September 22nd of 2012. She saw 9/11 specifically. The Lord showed her that something is coming. The Lord didn't define what was coming, but he showed her that something was coming that in time was going to affect every household in America. And at that time, God called us to pray. We took the entire summer, our first summer here in Washington, D.C., we took the entire summer, canceled all our meetings, and just gave ourselves to prayer for our nation. Now, we culminated this prayer time on September 11th at at our home overlooking the Pentagon. Had a prophetic round table there. We came, had a powerful time of prayer. But something kept nagging at us. We didn't know what it was, but we were praying for the assets, not just in America, but assets throughout the nations of the earth. We didn't know really what it was, but something kept telling us that there was danger. How many of you know by the Spirit when there's danger and you know to pray, right? Well, I think it was that night or the next day that news broke about Benghazi. Now, Christopher Stevens had been left defenseless. And a mob of Islamist radicals had taken his life and taken down many special ops guys as well. They fought bravely to the very last hour, expecting help to come, and it never did. And we were told that this was a response to a video. Now, this was during the election year. We were told that this was a response by Islamic communities in Cairo and Benghazi to a video that had been posted. And they even arrested this guy and persecuted and prosecuted this guy for posting this anti-radical Islam video on YouTube. I don't know if you remember that. A massive, significant cover-up, the controversy of which is still defining our hour. And the fact is that nobody would have really known or paid attention to Hillary Clinton and the email scandal, except they demanded to have the emails from that hour and discovered by that demand that she had actually been working from her own server instead of the State Department server the whole time. So Jolene's word is still coming to pass. I'm just telling you that for some reason, God has emphasized, literally in many ways, fashioned our entire lives around 9/11. I don't really understand it. I don't get it. But I do know that the commitment of our fathers is the calling of our time. The balance of power, the recovery of justice, liberty and justice for all, is dependent on the one thing our forefathers focused most on, that we remain one nation under God, under the bridal canopy of His presence and power. Amen. This Amos 9/11 reality, the restoration of the tabernacle of His presence. How am I doing? Am I doing okay? Well, all this said, the Lord gave us a warning this year about a second 9/11 that was coming. Now, we are doing our best to steward the intel from the Holy Spirit with integrity. And part of that integrity mandates that we submit the revelation that God gives us. And many times we're off. We see in part, we know in part, we prophesy in part. But we want the spiritual intelligence that the Lord gives us to be stewarded by the body of Christ to the edification of the body of Christ and the edification of the nation. Yes. And for that reason, we generally will post revelation the day we receive it. And on the morning of July 13th, I had a very, very significant dream. How many of you receive our postings here? Okay, most of you are probably familiar with this dream then. If you don't receive our posting, you can go to johnandjolene.com and you can sign up there for our postings. On the morning of July 13th, I had a dream. And in this dream, I saw Washington, D.C. at night. It was different than usual because it was actually laid out on the side of a hill. Laid out on the side of a gigantic hill that led to the precipice of a cliff. And in the dream, you know how things work in dreams. The Atlantic Ocean was just on the other side of that cliff. Looking at the Atlantic Ocean was like looking at the Colorado River from the Grand Canyon, that far down. And in the dream, I had gone up to David's tent. Actually, David's tent wasn't in process. Everybody was strategizing for David's tent, and people were streaming in from all over the nation to come to David's tent, which again begins on 9/11, tonight. And after that meeting, at midnight, I went up to the top of that hill to look over and see the beauty of the Atlantic from that vantage point. And to my surprise, the Atlantic wasn't down at the bottom of the cliff. The Atlantic was just about to crest over the top of that cliff and rush down the streets of Washington, D.C. And I ran back to warn Jason and the community. I then went into the city, and before I could do anything more, I saw the waves coming down. And I literally stepped inside a little brick garage. It was the only shelter I could find, the foundation. You might see the picture of the foundation, the stone bricks, the cornerstone of Jesus Christ in the foundation, firmly placed. I stepped into the foundation of a house to gain the shelter from the storm. And when I woke up, began to pray, the Holy Spirit spoke a few things. He said, there's a wave coming that could breach our highest walls of defense. We think we've built our walls of defense so high that no matter what comes against us, they can't be breached. But he said, there's a wave coming that unless it is abated, it will breach our highest walls of defense. He then said, Capitol Hill is a last line of defense. And when he said that, I knew he was referring to this Iranian nuclear deal, which I personally believe to be a covenant with death and hell. We are making a covenant with radical Islam. And I didn't know the details about it because it hadn't been released. That was on 7/13, July 13th. On 7/14, July 14, John Kerry announces the Iranian nuclear deal. Please don't look at me and say, wow, you are so prophetic. My capacity in the prophetic had so little to do with this. God was making a point. And he chose to invade my dreams the night before, the day before the Iranian nuclear deal. He invaded my dreams to give his response to this accord, what he thought about it. And you can't make this stuff up. And I say that through tears. We began to find out that this deal immediately releases $150 billion into the Iranian economy. Now, I thought those $150 billion were just for that would happen with the sanctions being lifted. But those $150 billion are Iranian assets that had been frozen around the world. They're coming immediately. Even as Ayatollah Khamenei again and again vows to wipe Israel off of the face of this earth, even as they swear to take down the great Satan, their name for the United States of America. Now, I didn't know the timing of all this. Really, I didn't. I just knew that we had to pray because, you know, I knew that Jason Hershey was going to start his David's 10 prayer meeting on 9/11. And when I saw the wave, it was in context with everybody coming in for David's 10. So I realized that the Lord was saying something about this 9/11. That this 9/11, 2015, is going to go down in history as a gateway to a new era of history. Very similar to 9/11 of 2001. History is literally being redefined. We are entering into an absolutely perilous time. I didn't know that Congress would have 60 days to review the deal. And if you count 60 days from the 14th of July, you get right around September 11th. You add the holidays and you get September 17th, which is the actual deadline. I had no idea that on September 10th, members of Congress would rise up to say no to this deal, only to be blocked and overthrown. And as of 9/11, September 11th, I believe a wave is coming that we ourselves have invited. I know Jonathan Kahn has talked about economic calamity. You know, there may be some. Others have warned of natural disasters. There may be some. I don't have any warnings about that. I don't believe that's what the wave represents. I was talking with my friend Gary Beaton, and we prayed together, and he's been on our conference calls on Wednesday nights, and he felt strongly that the wave represents a second enfatada, or actually a third enfatada. Radical Islam rising up again, both in Israel and America. And it only makes sense, because if $150 billion is being released to the Iranian economy, and they're swearing to wipe Israel off the map, they're funding Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon, they are developing and purchasing missile technology that is so high it could potentially even evade Iran's Iron Dome and Arrow systems. Israel's Iron Dome and Arrow systems. And at the same time they have purchased, they went shopping. How many of you know when you get a bonus, you know, from your work, you like to go out and go shopping, hit Macy's, maybe go down and have some Tex-Mex at Chewy's? Well, the Iranians, when they heard that this deal was being released, they decided to go shopping in Russia. And they've purchased some of the most advanced anti-aircraft systems available on the planet, just in case Israel decides to stand up for herself. Now, this is where we are. I'm not mincing words. I'm not sugarcoating it. We have got to stand. We have got to take our seats. We've got to take our place. Can I tell you some encouraging words? Yes, please. Help me, Jesus. Most of you are familiar with our book, Crown and Throne, right? We have copies outside. If you don't have a copy, I want to encourage you to get a copy. Because I was fishing for my book so I could actually read what I've written. And the book was laying on a table upside down, face down, right? My friend James Nesbitt did the cover of this book, Crown and Throne. It's a pretty good cover, isn't it? I like to tell people it's like looking in the mirror, right? You see who you are. But the book was lying face down, and so I took another look at the back cover. James Nesbitt did the back cover too, and for some reason he put the Capitol with a beacon on top of it, with waves crashing against it. Now, I had completely forgotten that. I look down at this book and I go, that's my dream. That's what I saw. Wow. case you don't believe me, just pass this around. And I realized God was speaking something. It's been 2 years since we wrote that book. We've entered into a 2-year window where now we're coming into maturity as this movement. And I believe that as of September 11th, 2015, we are seeing the resurgence of a move of the Spirit of God called Crown and Throne. It is a move that is unique, inherent to the East Coast of the United States. That's going to go from the East Coast of the United States to the ends of the earth, to this nation and the ends of the earth. Crown and Throne. A move of the Holy Spirit. The rise of spiritual revolutionaries that will take hold of the dream of God for their lives and take their spheres of authority for the Lord. This is not the end of something. Beloved, this is the beginning of something. It is time for the Paul Revere's of this nation to rise up and take their stand again. It is time for a midnight ride. God's calling forth storm riders. Riders in the storm. Riders in the storm are coming forth. Can I tell you? Some storms God is going to rein in and subdue. Some storms God is going to accelerate and reign through.
Yes.
But He promised us, never forget, sitting in the gatepost out in Anacostia, when Rick Reinings came to the House of Prayer for the commissioning of the Washington House of Prayer, and God gave him Isaiah 19. He said, God is riding on a swift cloud. And the gods of Egypt and the thrones of Egypt that thought they held Washington, D.C., they are going to topple, they are going to crumble.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved, this wave is actually the storm of the Lord. It's imperceptible. We may not even perceive it. Rick Ridings then went on to prophesy that as God emphasized in the previous decade, the harp and the bowl, He is now emphasizing the crown and the throne.
Yes.
Kingly governmental intercession that's going to topple the thrones of the enemy. He's riding in on this cloud. That back cover is a picture of what it's going to look like. God is riding in on this wave. We're going to get into that in a moment. The other thing I felt like the Holy Spirit emphasized. He said, as in September 11th of 2001, when amidst the rubble and the dust, the eagle of America rose. And the Lord emphasized Amos 9:11 as a shofar trumpet being blown to America and the nations of the earth. The stronghold of the Lord, the shelter from the storm. Amos 9:11, the restoration of the tabernacle of David. That was what God thundered in the midst of the terrorist attacks. It's a storm shelter, the stronghold of the Lord. We saw the global 9/11 prayer movement rise up in the midst. Lord spoke that in this hour, the alarm for 9/11 is sounding again, and God is releasing as He released Amos 9/11 in 2001, in 2015, He is emphasizing, He is releasing covenantally and governmentally Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11. And Zechariah 9:11 says this, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I have set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners who have the hope. This very day I declare I restore double to you. Now, There is a move of the Holy Spirit that we have been praying for and contending for as we have seen these storm shelters arise. Even Jason Hersey in this hour, he didn't want to start it last week. He didn't want to start it next week. He wanted to start it exactly on 9/11 because God is emphasizing 9/11, the restoration of the tabernacle of David. And as this stronghold is now coming into place and is being secured, God's got another word. He's taking us to a whole nother level. Because of the blood of my covenant with you, I have set your prisoners free. Who do you know that is in prison? Who do you know that is in a waterless pit? Besides myself. Thank you, Bob, for rescuing me. Who do you know that is in a waterless pit? Who have you been praying for and it just seems like there is no turnaround? They're stuck in their drugs. They're stuck in their power fantasies. They're stuck in their ways and they don't see. They're blind. They can't see. They're in prison.
Yeah. Yes.
This is their year for deliverance. You hear me? This is not the year to give up. This is a year to press through. This is a year to contend until. Because God even now is moving by His Spirit. And He is setting the prisoners free. And they are going to return. Not to the strongholds of men. But to the strongholds of the presence of God. The shelters from the storm. Come on now. Jubilee year. That's right. It's here. Before I moved to Kansas City, 1999 and 2000, I worked for Cindy Jacobs. She pulled me in her office one day. She said, "Son, you're a spiritual Paul Revere." She said, "I see you holding out a burning lamp. And you're going to go from city to city to city. And instead of saying the British are coming, you're going to say the Lord is coming. A friend of mine, 2 years earlier in Kansas City, had given me that exact word, word for word. Cindy gave the exact word, repeated back what the Spirit of God had said in another state to me. You're a spiritual Paul Revere. You're going to be holding out the burning lamp. Instead of saying the British are coming, you're going to say the Lord is coming. And then Cindy added this one phrase. She said, "And everywhere you go, revival is going to break forth." We are not here out of choice. To some measure, we are here with you tonight out of obligation. I could be nowhere on the face of this planet than right here because this is a place that people have been contending for. There's a well of revival that God has promised He is breaking forth at this time. The waterless pits are going to be released into flowing rivers and we are going to see revival right here in this Northern Virginia area. The army of Northern Virginia is arising. The spiritual Paul Revere, the revolutionaries of this army are rising up at this time. About this same time, I went out in prayer and had a vision in Colorado Springs. I saw a fighter jet take off from Colorado Springs. I saw a fighter jet. It was like I was in the spirit and all of a sudden I was in the runway of a secret Air Force base in Colorado Springs and I saw a jet take off. Then I was kind of catapulted to the runway of another air base, this one in Missouri. And I saw another fighter jet take off in Kansas City, Missouri. And then I was catapulted to the mid-Atlantic region of the United States. And I saw another fighter jet take off. And these jets all merged together. and shot across the Atlantic to go fight for Israel in her most desperate hour. And I knew these fighter jets represented prayer movements. I knew the jet from Colorado Springs represented the spiritual warfare movement with Chuck Pierce and Cindy Jacobs and Dutch Sheets. I knew that the Kansas City jet represented 24/7 worship and intercession in the spirit of this tabernacle of David. But I knew that there was a movement that was unique and inherent to the East Coast. A fighter jet that had yet to take flight. I've been praying ever since for that jet to take flight. I didn't have any intention to move here. God moved me here. Literally from Colorado Springs to Kansas City to Frederick, Maryland. Then into Pentagon City. I didn't know that there were guys like Jason Hershey and Matt Lockett were contending for this new move. And I didn't know there were seasoned intercessors across this region. Women warriors, a few men warriors scattered in throughout that were contending for this new move. Heard the same thing. But I'm here to tell you, this new move of God is of this year. It got off the ground in 2013, and this year it's taking flight. And the key definition, it's Pharaoh versus Moses. It is dictatorship tied to idolatry versus a covenant people who are standing with God,
yes,
having a visitation from the Holy Spirit, thinking they are absolutely out of their mind, restoring covenant with Christ, saying to the multitudes in this day where so many are caught up in prisons, in waterless pits, let my people go. Let my people go. Let my people go. Say it with me. Let my people go. This is the year. Let my people go out of the waterless pit. Let my people go. Bob Jones, back in 1983, had a prophetic experience. You guys have ever heard of Bob Jones? Not the Bob Jones racist guy, but the Bob Jones who literally was a father to the entire prophetic movement. In 1983, he summoned a young man named Mike Bickle. He said, "Mike, I've had a visitation." Mike was 27 at the time. He said, "You're going to have to start a prayer movement in the spirit of the Tabernacle of David, because God is about to bring a move of his spirit. And you've got to be a forerunner of this movement. You've got to forerun it in prayer, Mike." And he made a vow at the age of 27 to build what became the International House of Prayer movement. But it was in response to the promise that God gave him. And he saw this. Bob Jones saw a move of the Holy Spirit that was coming, that would combine the miracles of Exodus with the miracles of Acts. He said it's going to be a move of the Spirit that is greater than even the book of Acts, and it's going to totally encompass the entirety of the North American continent, go into the South American continent, and all over the world. He said it's going to bring the greatest move of deliverance that the nation has ever seen. Deliverance. Let my people go. He said it's going to combine the miracles of Exodus with the miracles of Acts. The healings where, you know, Peter would walk around and people would get deliverance and healing just from being in his shadow. It's going to bring together the miracles of Exodus and the miracles of Acts. Can I tell you that Exodus is where God rose up and fought a revolution to set his people free?
That's right.
way back then, God told Bob, you're going to live to see the beginning of it. You know that Bob Jones died on February 14th, Valentine's Day of 2014. I'm giving you a prophetic history so we can have clarity for what we're contending for. We can lift the fog and we can find purpose and we can fight. Before he died, Bob Jones summoned an apostolic leader named Che An aside. And he said this to Che An. Che repeated this to the leadership conference of HIM. He said this. He said, I saw the new move of God come into the earth. This was in December of 2013, just 2 months before he died. He said, I saw the new move of God come into the earth. He said, this new move of God came into the earth on Thanksgiving of 2013. I saw it. I don't know if you remember Thanksgiving of 2013. It was an unusual time. It was a convergence of Thanksgiving and Hanukkah. Thanksgiving celebrates the covenant of the pilgrims who established our nation as one nation under God. Hanukkah celebrates the miracle of the Maccabees, spiritual revolutionaries of their hour, who saw where the temple of God and the covenant of God had been defiled. And they broke through the strongest armies in the Mideast to take back their temple and reconsecrate it to the Lord. They reconsecrated the temple by relighting the flame. The Maccabees. Everybody say Maccabee.
Maccabee.
Say, I am a Maccabee.
I am a Maccabee.
I'm a covenant keeper.
I'm a covenant
restorer.
I am a spiritual revolutionary.
The Maccabees relit the menorah in the temple to reconsecrate the temple to the Lord. And you know the story of how they only had enough oil for one day. But the miracle of Hanukkah is that menorah blazed for 8 days, Ginger. It blazed for 8 days. The convergence of Hanukkah and Thanksgiving. Covenantal legacies converging. The pilgrims established covenant. The Maccabees restored covenant. That first day happened to be Jolene and my anniversary. We have two anniversaries. One is the first day of Hanukkah because we got married on the first day of Hanukkah. And the other is December 20th. But on December 20th, 2003, we got married. And amidst all the trials and challenges and just adventures of that hour, we had a menorah shipped over from Israel. And we wanted to start our meeting in worship. And we had the center candle of our menorah was reserved as our unity candle. You guys bored? Okay. The center candle of our candle was reserved as our unity candle on December 20th, the first day of Hanukkah. And as we were singing, glory, glory, send your glory, my glorious. My best man, Will Ford, nudged me. And I'm like, Will, I'm worshiping. He nudged me again, and I looked over at Will, and tears were streaming down his face. Now, this is the guy who owned the kettle. He looked over at me, tears streaming down his face, and he pointed to that menorah. And somehow that center candle had lit itself in front of everybody on the first day of Hanukkah as we were singing, glory, glory, send your glory. Two weak, broken people coming into covenant together. starting a new life. God chose to come and visit and light our lamp. So we covenanted together with Him for a new beginning. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? It's that anniversary that God saw fit to bring His glory in the earth, the convergence of Thanksgiving and Hanukkah. Happened to also be the day we released Crown and Throne, the book. We didn't know any of that. We just knew that that's what God had compelled us to do. And Bob Jones saw the glory coming in. He saw this new move of spiritual revolution beginning. It's not like the other moves of God. It's not where it's just us all sitting together in a crowd and the Lord moving sovereignty. That's going to be part of it. But we are called by God to step out and engage and gain victory and breakthrough in our spheres of society. We are called just like the Maccabees to take back our nation for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to see covenant restored. The commitment of our fathers is the calling of our time.
Amen, amen.
And each one of you has a role to play.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Thank you, Father.
I'm minding my own business yesterday when this crazy woman from Kansas comes up to me with a hammer. Sandy Newman from Kansas comes up with a hammer and she says, John, do you remember when we called you and Jolene to be Maccabees? God even changed your name from Hamel to Hammer because God's calling you forth as Maccabees, and the name Maccabee literally means hammer. Looking at her with that fierce countenance, I said, yes. He said, do you know what this year means? I said, yes. Hebraically, I mean. I said, no. Don't hit me. She's swinging this hammer back and forth. She said, Chuck Pierce has just unpacked this. He's going to release it next week. He said, 2016, Hebraically, is the year of the hammer. It is the year of the Maccabees. It is the year of the spiritual revolutionaries. It is time for us to pick up our hammer and break through. Come on. God's word is like a hammer. We are going to stand together. We are going to contend. And we are going to see a Maccabee turnaround for this nation. You were born for just this hour of history. You were born not to just succumb to the spirit of the age, but to stand up against it and redefine our world. You just can't make this stuff up, folks. So Pitts Evans, when he asked us to come in, he asked us to start having monthly meetings in conjunction with Whole Word and in conjunction with the Gate. And by God's grace and with you guys coming together, we're just going to walk this journey through. I'm just not going to be a flash in the pan, let's stand up and prophesy and then crawl away into the woods and forget it ever happened. No, we are in it to win it, all right? And if you're not in it to win it, don't come back. We don't need you. If you are, if you have the resolve that you want to stand up and make a difference, we're just going to gather together monthly here on a Friday night, probably the second Friday night of the month, and we're just going to contend for this move of the Spirit to have full reign in our midst. Is that okay?
Yes.
How many of you want to be spiritual revolutionaries? Stand to your feet, please. Father, you are releasing a Maccabee anointing. Some of us Our lamps are really dim. You want us to be beacons in the storm. I just thank you that the torchbearer angels of the Lord are here to help rekindle that fire. Father, I just release your Holy Spirit, and I release the angelic hosts of the Lord Jesus Christ sent to minister on our behalf as heirs of salvation to kindle that fire again, to kindle that strength again, that passion again, to kindle that expression of God's covenant in the earth again, to restore hope, to bring you out of that waterless pit and set you ablaze as a burning and shining lamp for Jesus.
Yes, God.
Yes.
Yes, God.
So that Jesus may have the reward of his suffering.
Send the fire right down, God. Send it right now, Lord. Right now.
Just begin to pray in the Spirit. Wait on the Lord a little bit. Let's pray in the Spirit. Fire up the jets, Lord. Fire up the jets in Jesus' name. Fire up the jets, God. We need the jets fired up and released. Get this plane off the ground again, God. It's time for us to contend for America and Israel in Jesus' name. There is an anointing of impartation right now. So if you want an impartation of the Holy Spirit, just come on forward. We need some people to catch. And if you don't feel it, please don't fall, okay? We're not into courtesy falls or anything here. We just want the genuine power of the Spirit. But come on quick. Come on quick. Okay. Revivalist anointing, burning and shining lamps for Jesus.
Now. Calvary, God, would just cut off any warfare that has come to the intercontinental. In Jesus' name. Cut it off right now. And Lord, I just call him forward out of the force of his gift. But he's went on there to rescue you. In Jesus' name. We thank you that he is a rescuer. He is a special ops guy. We thank you that this mighty man of God is your hour. You are the hammer. Weeping and crying, and God is just calling you forth now into your heart and save this nation and turn this nation. Now, the prophetic anointing that has been there in days past, it's been there in part, and it's like God's right now depositing in your spirit a missing puzzle piece. Yeah. Hold this place in Jesus.
Intercession now in Jesus' name. There's something that's been, it's been right there, and you've seen it just, but it hasn't been totally clear. And the Lord's saying, it's time for you to call 911 over this. And it's just beyond your scope of vision, but it's there. So, Lord, we just come into agreement that whatever emergency circumstances, Lord, you're turning it around. We declare your turnaround right now in the name of Jesus. And the Lord says, daughter, I've called you to hear my voice, and you're unique in your response. You're so tender in your response. And the Lord is giving you clarity by his Holy Spirit that he wants you to trust. In your humility, you've kind of put some things just on the shelf that the Lord's shown you. And the Lord says, trust me, it's me. Does that make sense? Lord, and I pray for my friend Ginger. Lord, she is a Gideon. She is a burning and shining lamp. She's wearing red and orange. She is a burning and shining lamp. And Lord, I thank you that you are literally changing direction for her. Lord, she's been in almost like a season where she's been dancing with you. She's been spinning with you. She's been following your footsteps wherever you go. But this is literally a time where you're going up, 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 up in the Spirit in Jesus' name. I thank you that the counsel of God, the counsel of God, the counsel of God is now her place of access. Yes, in Jesus' name, in a whole new way. In the name of Jesus, you know that you go there, but it's like never before. You're going there, and what you see from the Lord, hear from the Lord, respond to in the Lord, is going to shake the nations. It's going to shake the economic system of the nations. Thank you, Lord. So let's just say this together. Lord, in Jesus' name, for your glory, we place ourselves in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. We return to the stronghold of the Lord. As we return, multitudes will return. And we declare that we receive now the torch of our new commissioning, spiritual revolutionary, called to redefine our world. This 9/11
begins
our turnaround.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Well, you may be seated for just, yeah, let's thank God. Let's thank God for what He's doing.